This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
So imagine cooking a really rich, heavy, deeply savory stew. You know the kind.
Oh, yeah. The kind of comforting rib-sticking meal that usually takes like an entire weekend.
Exactly, yeah. A massive cast iron pot, a super expensive cut of beef to even get it right. But now imagine pulling off that exact same depth of flavor on, say, a Tuesday night in just about 40 minutes.
Right.
And here's the kicker, without using a single ounce of meat.
Which, I mean, it sounds like a total culinary contradiction, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We are so conditioned to believe that deep, complex flavor requires, you know, either high heat for searing or hours of low and slow braising to break down animal proteins.
Right. But today, welcome to the deep dive, because we are looking at the culinary DNA of a dish that does exactly that. We have this source pack today that is essentially, well, it's a metadata sheet.
Yeah, a raw blueprint.
Exactly. It's a blueprint for a beloved Korean dish. There are no sprawling narratives about the author's childhood, no atmospheric descriptions of like a bustling market, and absolutely no invented history.
Just the facts.
Just the pure practical reality of what to expect and how to pull this off in your own kitchen, no matter where you are in the world, which I think is basically like receiving a culinary dossier before tackling a new project.
It really is. And it's an incredibly effective way to learn. When you strip away the intimidation factor and all that overcontextualization, you give the home cook the actual parameters of the dish.
Mm-hmm.
So we are looking at a targeted audio overview designed specifically for curious cooks outside of Korea who want to understand the absolute essentials.
We're looking at the architecture of the food.
Exactly.
And the dish we are decoding today is gochujang jjigae. Our mission is to extract the flavor profiles, the practical execution tips, and, you know, the cultural context without getting bogged down in information overload.
Keeping it practical.
Right. We want to give you, the listener, the shortcut to mastering a totally new culinary technique. So looking at this blueprint, I see the name at the top. If you're standing in your kitchen reading the source sheet, you'll see gochujang jjigae. And if you're not a native Korean speaker, your brain might just kind of freeze on the pronunciation.
Oh, for sure. Mm. Phonetics can definitely be a barrier to entry for home cooks. But functionally, it breaks down quite simply to go gochujang jjigae.
Gochujang jjigae. Okay, and what's really helpful here is that our dossier actually includes an English search hint, right? It says gochujang stew. It even includes the Spanish translation, which is guiso de pasta de chile.
Yeah, and that inclusion of the Spanish translation in the metadata is quite telling, I think.
Oh, how so?
Well, it emphasizes the growing global footprint of this dish.
Mm.
It's not just some hyper-regional specialty anymore, you know. It's a flavor profile that translates across cultures.
That makes a lot of sense.
The concept of a chili paste stew makes fundamental sense whether you're standing in a kitchen in Seoul, Seattle, or Santiago.
It grounds the whole concept for you. It tells you, hey, don't be intimidated. At its core, this is a hearty stew. But as I look further down our dossier here, I'm hitting some vital statistics that seem, well, kind of contradictory.
Okay, what do you see?
Okay, let's unpack this. The source data explicitly lists the preparation time as about 40 minutes, and the difficulty is rated as medium. I'm looking at this 40-minute window, and I'm a bit confused.
Why is that?
Well, 40 minutes is that weird sweet spot. It's not a quick 10-minute stir fry, but it's also not a weekend-long braise. If the difficulty is only medium and we're basically just using a pre-made paste as the base, what on earth is taking 40 minutes?
Right.
Like, why can't I just boil some water, stir in the paste, and eat it in 5? Does this medium difficulty and 40-minute window suggest we are building layers of flavor rather than just boiling water?
What's fascinating here is that, yes, 40 minutes is a very specific, chemically necessary window in the culinary world. The classification itself gives away the required technique.
Oh, wait, the classification.
Yeah, the source data strictly categorizes this as a stew, which is the jjigae part of the Korean name. In the hierarchy of Korean soups and broths, a jjigae is much thicker, heavier, and more robust than a standard soup.
A standard soup being what? A guk?
Exactly, a guk. So you are managing an active transformation here. The 40 minutes is structurally crucial for a few different physical reactions.
Okay, lay them on me. What's happening in the pot?
First, you need time for the starches, both from the paste and your vegetables, to release and gelatinize in the liquid.
Gelatinize, got it.
Second, you are looking for evaporation. The broth needs to reduce and thicken. If you rush it, and, you know, only boil it for 10 minutes, you haven't allowed those starches to do their job.
And you just end up with a thin, watery soup.
Precisely.
So the medium difficulty rating is really about temperature management.
Exactly. You have to maintain a simmer that is vigorous enough to reduce the liquid, but gentle enough that the dense paste doesn't just sink to the bottom and scorch.
Right, you're coaxing the ingredients to marry together.
Yes, exactly that.
Okay, so the 40 minutes isn't just prep, it's a chemical necessity to thicken the broth. But that raises a huge question for me. If this broth is getting so rich and heavy, what exactly is creating that body?
Mm-hmm.
Usually you'd rely on a slow-simmered bone broth for that texture. But our metadata sheet says something completely unexpected here. Let's talk about the dietary reality of what is actually going into this pot.
Yeah, the source sheet is very explicit about what is not in this version of the stew, which frankly defines its entire character.
Right. I see the spice level is officially rated as medium. It's accessible, it's present, it's going to warm you up, but it's not meant to be like an extreme eating challenge.
Right, it's comforting heat.
But here is the genuine surprise in our metadata. This specific version explicitly contains no pork, no beef, no chicken, and no seafood.
Zero meat.
Zero. The sheet notes, see ya? Yes. Right. It is designed with a vegetarian alternative in mind.
Which completely upends how Western stews are traditionally constructed.
Right. I mean, think about a classic Western stew. Beef bourguignon, a hearty mutton stew, even a heavy chicken and dumpling soup.
They all rely fundamentally on meat.
Or at the very least, a gelatin-rich animal bone broth to create that heavy, comforting base.
Yeah.
If there is zero meat and zero seafood here, how does it not just taste like spicy water?
That's a great question.
How are you getting a robust, mouth-coating stew out of just vegetables and chili paste?
Well, we have to look at the primary allergen listed in the dossier to answer that. The most critical allergen to check for in this dish is soy.
Soy.
And that soy isn't just a side note for dietary warnings. It is the entire flavor engine of the dish.
Because the soy is the foundation of the gochujang paste, right?
Correct. Gochujang is a fermented chili paste. Its base is made from fermented soybeans, along with glutinous rice, red chili powder, and salt.
Okay, so fermentation is doing the heavy lifting here.
Exactly. When we talk about how a vegetarian stew achieves the depth of a meat stew, we're really talking about the science of fermentation. During the fermentation process, which takes months, the complex proteins in those soybeans break down into individual amino acids.
Oh, and one of those amino acids is glutamate.
That is the key. Glutamates are the compounds responsible for umami.
Right, that savory, meaty flavor.
Yeah. When you eat something high in glutamates, those molecules bind to specific savory receptors on your tongue. They essentially trick your brain into perceiving a deep mouth-coating richness.
The same richness we usually associate with, like, a seared steak or aged Parmesan cheese.
Or a slow-roasted chicken, exactly.
Wow. So the weeks and months that the gochujang spent fermenting in a jar before it even reached your kitchen is actually doing the function of a slow-simmered piece of beef.
It is entirely replacing the function of the beef. Beef provides fat and glutamates. Gochujang provides an immense concentration of glutamates, along with sweetness from the glutinous rice and heat from the chili.
So that's why you can achieve that profound depth of flavor in only 40 minutes.
Yes. The time-consuming part, the development of complex savory compounds, was already done for you during fermentation.
That is wild. It really shifts your perspective on what a stew fundamentally requires.
It really does. We are heavily conditioned to think that savory depth equals meat. This metadata proves that savory depth actually just equals time and fermentation.
That is a massive paradigm shift for a home cook. You can achieve that rich Sunday supper depth of flavor on a Tuesday night without having to buy an expensive chuck roast.
Absolutely.
But okay, that leads us directly into the practical execution of this, because if the entire weight of this meatless stew rests on a fermented paste, there's definitely room for a cook outside of Korea to make a misstep, right?
Oh, definitely. And the source pack specifically highlights overseas cooks and the common mistakes they might make when adapting this.
Right.
When you are working with an unfamiliar foundational ingredient, the technique matters just as much as the ingredient itself. You can't just treat gochujang like a generic bouillon cube.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting for me. The dossier tells us our target taste and texture is a rich, medium spicy, comforting stew. When I think about cooking with a dense, intense paste, My mind immediately goes to Italian cooking.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
Is cooking with gochujang like using tomato paste in a ragu? Like if you just dump tomato paste into a watery sauce and don't let it cook down, toast slightly, or integrate properly, the texture is gritty and the flavor is raw and acidic.
The tomato paste analogy is a really solid starting point for understanding concentration. But gochujang is actually much more volatile in a liquid environment.
Really? How so?
Well, with tomato paste, you are mainly dealing with concentrated fruit sugars and acidity. With gochujang, because of the glutinous rice flour used in the fermentation, you are dealing with a massive amount of starch.
Oh, wow. So if you don't integrate it properly, you don't just get a raw flavor, you get a terrible texture.
Exactly. The biggest mistake for a non-Korean home cook would be treating the jjigae like a Western clear broth.
Like just dropping a spoonful in and walking away?
Yeah. If you just dissolve the gochujang in hot water, throw in some vegetables, and expect it to be done in 5 minutes, you literally just have spicy water with a gritty layer of ungelatinized starch sitting at the bottom of the pot.
Yikes. So you haven't allowed the starches in the gochujang to hydrate, expand, and thicken the liquid?
No.
And you haven't given the fermented soy flavors time to mellow out and integrate with the water either.
You must respect the target texture of the stew.
Yeah.
The 40-minute simmer we discussed earlier is the absolute minimum required to force that gochujang to yield its starches into the liquid.
Transforming it from just water into a cohesive velvety sauce.
Exactly.
Which means the ingredients you put into that liquid need to be able to survive that process, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's talk about those ingredients. Since our source sheet highlights this as vegetarian friendly, you're likely using tofu and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
If a listener is standing in a supermarket outside of Korea and they can't find the exact traditional Korean zucchini or specific local mushrooms, how should they think about substitutions?
They need to think entirely about structural integrity and water content.
Okay, structural integrity.
Yes, because this stew must simmer for 40 minutes to develop that medium spicy thick base. Any substitution you make must complement that physical process without fighting it.
So you wouldn't want to use like delicate leafy greens, right? Like spinach, that would just turn to absolute mush after 10 minutes.
Right. Or vegetables with a massive water content, like a standard salad cucumber or celery.
Because as they break down.
Exactly. As those vegetables break down in a 40-minute boil, they release all their internal cellular water directly into your stew.
Oh, which dilutes the broth and completely counters all the starch thickening you're trying to achieve with the gochujang in the first place.
Precisely. You are fighting your own paste.
That makes so much sense.
You want hearty, dense vegetables. Potatoes are fantastic for this.
Oh, I bet.
Not only do they hold their shape, but as they simmer, they release their own amylose starches into the broth, which helps thicken the jjigae even further.
Oh, double thickening power. I love that.
Root vegetables, winter squash, or hearty mushrooms are also great choices. And with mushrooms, you get the added benefit of guanine lotly,
which is another amino acid.
It's another compound that actually amplifies the umami of the soy. It's a flavor multiplier.
Wow. Okay. What about the tofu? Because a lot of Western cooks think of tofu as just one uniform ingredient, but, you know, the texture varies wildly.
Oh, for sure. In a jitty, dense, firm tofu works beautifully because it acts like a sponge.
Ah, absorbing all that good broth.
Right. It absorbs that umami-rich soy broth while maintaining its physical structure in a rolling simmer. If you use a silken or extra soft tofu without knowing the delicate technique to handle it,
it just turns into soup confetti?
Yeah, the agitation of the boiling water will just shatter it into tiny fragments. The key is that whatever you put in the pot has to survive the journey.
It has to earn its place in the 40-minute simmer.
Exactly.
I love that approach. It takes the pressure off finding the perfectly authentic vegetable from a specialty grocery store and puts the focus on the authentic technique.
It really does.
If you understand the mechanics of the stew, you can build it with what you have. Which really brings us to the ultimate takeaway here. Mastering this texture, avoiding the pitfall of treating it like a quick soup, and understanding the sheer power of fermented gochujang, it unlocks something much bigger for the home cook.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it provides a very clear window into the broader philosophy of Korean home cooking.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, standing in your kitchen on a Tuesday night? What is the real practical takeaway from this seemingly simple dossier?
The takeaway is absolute empowerment through your pantry.
Empowerment. I like that.
Yeah. What this dish teaches you is that complex, deeply satisfying, highly structured meals do not require expensive ingredients. They can be built entirely around a fermented pantry staple.
You don't need to plan days in advance or visit a specialty butcher just to have a good stew.
Right. In many Western culinary traditions, building a profound savory stew requires a significant financial and temporal investment. You need a specific cut of chuck roast, you need aromatics, you need stock, and you need 3 hours of oven time to break down the collagen.
It's an event.
Exactly. But gochujang jjigae teaches you a completely different kind of culinary architecture. By understanding the stew category, by respecting that crucial 40-minute development time for starch gelatinization, and by trusting the umami power of soy-based gochujang over meat.
You're learning so much more.
You aren't just learning a single recipe. You are learning a foundational technique for extracting maximum flavor with minimal resources.
You're learning how to build a flavor bomb from scratch using something you can literally keep in your fridge for months.
You are manipulating fermentation, starch, and time. You are creating something that feels incredibly rich and sustaining, but when you break it down to its raw data, it is fundamentally just water, vegetables, and fermented paste.
That is just, it's a highly efficient, brilliant way of approaching food.
It is brilliant.
It really is, and it perfectly fulfills the mission of our deep dive today, I think. We started with just a metadata sheet, the raw DNA of a dish. We decoded the pronunciation of gochujang jjigae and saw its global appeal.
Mm-hmm.
We unpacked that 40-minute commitment and realized it's not just an arbitrary timer on a recipe blog. It's a required transformative chemical process.
And we also uncovered the surprise of that meat-free umami power driven entirely by the amino acids in the fermented soy paste.
Right. And we learned that if you treat this paste with the respect it deserves, you know, managing the simmer and using ingredients with the structural integrity to stand up to the heat, you achieve that perfect, thick, comforting texture of a true jjigae.
Which is key.
It's far more than just spicy water. It's a masterclass in flavor building and pantry utilization.
It really is a very practical, achievable kind of culinary magic for the home cook, no matter where you are geographically.
It really is.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a thought to mull over the next time you're standing in front of your stove staring at your ingredients.
Oh.
We've seen how this simple fermented Korean chili paste can completely replace the role of meat or slow simmered bones in creating a rich, satisfying stew. So what other Western comfort foods in your repertoire? Maybe a Sunday chili, the base of a vegetarian shepherd's pie, or even a winter vegetable braise could be totally transformed by borrowing this one Korean technique.
Oh, that is a great question to experiment with. The umami is there waiting to be used.
Get into the kitchen and find out. Thanks for joining us on this culinary decoding session, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.